Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for May 28th, 2023 is based on the readings for Pentecost Sunday. Our guest preacher is Pastor Bob Browning.
The gospel going is the gospel according to St. John. Today we're going back to the day of the resurrection. In the gospel of John, Jesus made his appearances three times. The first time was with Mary Magdalene in the garden. The second time was with the disciples who were hiding in a house that they locked all the doors and put a padlock on them because they were feared of their own lives. What would happen to them is what happened to Jesus. But Jesus arrives. He surprised them. He appeared to them and gave them a greeting. Was it a greeting? He gave them peace. He gave them a commission. And he gave them a gift of the Holy Spirit. Here's the story. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus then said again, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. They are retained." The word of God, the word of hope. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Pentecost and the Holy Spirit. I have to admit to you, and as many pastors probably would, we pastors have a hard time knowing what to say to you about the Holy Spirit. I don't know why that is. We Lutherans, pastors, kind of hold back. We tell you a lot about God. We tell you a lot about the Holy Spirit, of Jesus, but we very seldom tell you about the Holy Spirit in our lives. Or when the text comes up and the Spirit is mentioned, do we kind of refer to the Spirit? Kind of resist that a little bit. And even I talked to some seminary pastors this week, and they agreed that even seminary pastors, we call it the shy person of the Holy Spirit, of the Trinity, the shy person. That is, we're shy of talking about the Holy Spirit with our people. Why? We just don't really know. Maybe it was because we don't really have a whole grip on the Holy Spirit, and nor do we recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I want to work with you today and hope that I can give you some things that I've talked about. I'm not going to give you some drawn-out doctrine of the Holy Spirit, but I want to share with you three questions. And I'm hoping that as you walk out this door of this sanctuary today, you'll know the answers to those three questions, okay? The first question is who? Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? Secondly, what does the Holy Spirit do? What does he do? What's his work? What's his ministry? And thirdly, how is the Holy Spirit active in your life? All right, three questions. Who is he? What does the Holy Spirit do? And how has the Holy Spirit acted in your life and have caused you to react in ways of the gospel? I'm going to deal with that this morning. But before we do, let's take a moment in prayer and go to the Holy Spirit and ask for help. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come into me with the words that I speak that you have given. Come into the hearts and minds of the people who listen, that you may come into their hearts and minds as well, and speak to them. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Any of you watch 60 Minutes on TV? 60 Minutes, you know what? You know, any of you recognize that? Some do? Okay, one. All right. Last week, 60 Minutes, to tell you what, it's this program every week on Sunday evening around 7 to 8 o'clock. And usually they cover some event or person, people in the world, and a lot of them in Ohio, in the United States, some of them around the world, some event that's meaningful, something is happening, so it brings us up to date. So last Sunday, they had an event they called the Sunday Crazies. There's been a survey that found out that 75 to 80% of the working population and the student population of the United States goes through every Sunday the Sunday Scaries. Okay, the Sunday Scaries. That means that 75 to 80% of the people, young and old, have some kind of fear, some kind of apprehension about Monday morning, or what's going to happen, or what they do the next week. You know, are they going to meet they're going to meet the demands of the work? Are they going to, do what the boss says? Are they going to satisfy the company? Are at school, are they going to perform what they're to do? Are they going to have their lessons on time? Are they able to, recite in the classrooms? On and on it goes. And it starts, apparently, in the afternoon on Sunday. Goes builds and builds and builds, that goes to a crescendo by Sunday night, that people are scared to death of Monday morning or what's ahead of them for the next week. Now, some of you may not be this Sunday scaries. It may be another morning, the day that you have the scaries, about the day that you have an appointment to the doctor's office and you don't know what's going to happen there. Or you go to the dentist, you don't know if you got a cavity or he's going to have to drill on you. You know, you have those days, scary days. But, I'll share with you, my scary day is Saturday. I wonder why. You know, I'm scared to death on Sunday morning. Will I be able to prepare a sermon? And what I have prepared of the sermon, will you understand it? And will you take something out of that sermon and out with you and go home with it? You know, that scares me. You know, I have a great responsibility to share with you. God has called me to do that for you. That God speaks to me, and that through me I am to speak to you what he has spoken to me. Okay, so I had the Saturday scaries. Maybe some of you had the Sunday scaries or whatever it is. Well, I'll share with this. We can say today that some other group of people called the disciples had the Sunday scaries too. It was on the first day of the week, which was Sunday to them. They had the scaries because they were locked up in a house. We don't know where, what house, whose house, but they were locked the doors, put a padlock on the door because they were scared to death. They had the Sunday scaries, the first day of the week scares. And Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up. Now, Jesus is showing up, could have said, he walks through the door, doesn't stop him, mainly because somewhere in the 10th chapter of John, he said, I am the door. Well, if he is the door, then no door is going to be able to stop him. And it didn't. He came right to that door, padlocked and all, and he greets them. What is he greeting with? Hi, gang. Here am I. I'm back, guys. I'm back. No. That's not what he said. He said something that was very, very important that they needed to hear. First of all, in their fear, to calm them down, he said, peace be with you. Peace I give you. Peace be with you. That was a fulfillment of a promise. Back in the 14th chapter of John, he said, peace I leave with you. Not the peace the world gives. No. My peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. My peace I give you. And that morning, in front of the Sunday scaries, Jesus said, peace I give you. His peace, a promise fulfilled. Peace. Isn't that what we need to hear today? Peace. The scaries that goes on in your life and mine. The road rage that goes on the highway, trying to get away and get out of the way of trucks. The rage that goes on streets. The rage that goes on with guns, handguns, assault weapons, bullets flying everywhere. I've kind of kept track the last month. There's not a day in Cincinnati, greater Cincinnati, that someone is not shot, wounded, or killed in a 24-hour period. And not just one, it's usually two or three, or four or five. And it goes on and on and on. It's scary. It's scary out there, folks. It's scary. And we need to hear the words of Jesus. Peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Peace, my peace, I give to you. Let your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. He gave them the peace, and then it goes on. He had something else. And of course, when he showed them his hands, he says, after the peace, now comes the show, the appearance. He points, see my hands, see the nails of I'm here, I'm Jesus, I'm the one hung on the cross, I'm your Savior, I'm the one that you followed for 3.5 years, I'm here, I'm back. And suddenly they were in joy. Now, did they jump up and down and give everybody a high five, you know, like we do? No, I don't think so. But it says they rejoiced. What kind of rejoicing was it? I think it was a joy of serenity, a joy of anticipation, a joy of waiting of what Jesus was going to say to them, what he would say to them next, a waiting of what he would do what he would do next. And here's what he did next. He said to them, once more, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. You got to be kidding. As the Father sent Jesus, Jesus is now sending us to do what the Father sent him to do? You got to be kidding. Can you imagine Peter hearing those words? Simon Peter, the guy who denied that he even knew Jesus. Now Jesus is giving him a new commission? Or even all the other disciples. Can you imagine what that sounded to them when he said, as the Father has sent me, now I send you? Lord, we reject. Lord, we ran away from you. We didn't help you there when you hung on the cross. We weren't even around. We didn't even have the courage to take you off the cross. It was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus who did that. We were in this room hiding. And now you're coming and giving us a new commission. You're coming back to us and uniting us. How could we do that? How can you say that? That we're to do your work that the Father gave you to do, you're now handing that on to us? Yeah, that's what Jesus was doing. So what was that work like? Well, Jesus, the work that the Father gave Jesus was he was to be the Word, God's Word. In the beginning was the Word. It was with God. It was God. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. And that's what we are now. As Jesus walked then in the flesh, you know, he forgave sins. He gave living water to a woman at the well. He gave light to the blind man. He gave a resurrection, the life of the resurrection, to Lazarus, who was laid in a tomb. He gave living bread to 5,000 people. That's the things, kind of things he did. And now he's giving that mission now to the disciples and to us. Jesus said, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done. And not only that, there will be greater works than I ever did. Wow. Let me say that again. Jesus said, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done and will do it in me. The same works, and they'll even be better than I have done. Think about what's going on in medicine nowadays. Think about what, in spite of what's going on in our world, the good things that happen that Jesus would never have been able to do. Think of technology. Jesus didn't have a computer. There was no internet with Jesus. No, it was just a little bit of rocking around in a country less than the size of Vermont. Think of what we can do that Jesus never was able to do. We can reach the world. He only reached that little dot on the map. Then, how do we do that? The disciples ask. How can we have the power, Jesus, to do all of that? If you commissioned us to do what the Father sent you to do, and we're now to take over, how do we do that? Well, Jesus said. With that, he had said, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. And as he breathed on them, they received the living breath from the living Jesus. That's what he did. And that breath not only went over them and on them, it went into them. Remember the story of creation? Where God had made 6 days, and at the end of the sixth day, he takes some dirt, makes a human, and it says he breathed, the Lord breathed on the human, and he became a living human being. The breath of God, the breath of Jesus, who was the breath of God, breathed into his disciples new life. They were dead, remember. They were sitting frightened, scared to death, afraid to even go out on the streets of Jerusalem. No way. They were dead, lifeless. No spirit left in them anymore. It was gone. Their hope in Jesus was gone. And he comes back and puts new life into them. St. Paul put it this way. If anyone is in Christ, everything old has passed away. There is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Behold, all things are new. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, Christ himself, not commanding their trespasses against them, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That was the mission. So let's just stop here for a minute and answer the question, who? So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the life of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the living soul, the living spirit of Jesus is in all of us. The Holy Spirit becomes the spirit of Jesus given to us. Jesus is in heaven, but now he's given us his Holy Spirit to live in us. And it's empowered us. We are now a new creation that happened right there when you didn't even know it, when you weren't even aware of it, when you even couldn't even speak, you couldn't even believe in any of this. But God chose you. Child of God, you've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's the commission. There wasn't no, you know, shaking of the foundations. There was no fiery flames coming over your, you know, over you when that happened. You know, we were speaking in different languages. Probably it was all English. But it was there. The event. The ministry. And then Jesus says to them, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are forgiven. They are retained, sorry. You know, that second part weighs on me. It does. I have trouble with that because, you know, I hold back forgiveness because I want to get revenge. You know, I sometimes hold back forgiveness because I want to get even. Sometimes I hold back forgiveness because, you know, it's just not fair the way I was treated or whatever. I hold back, and yet, you know, that I have problems with that because when Jesus says, you forgive the sins of whoever you forgive the sins, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins, they are, well, what am I going to do about that statement? That's the question that weighs on me. And I have to work on that and work on that. Because we have been given the power to forgive sins. And it happens. It happens. How does it happen? Well, let me put it this way. Inside of us, there is some kind of instinct, some kind of, some people call it a conscience, some people call it providence, some people call it a destiny. I kind of like to think of it as the nudge. You know what a nudge is, don't you? You know, you go like this to a person. And it's kind of like saying, you know, go ahead, you can do it. Go ahead. Come on. You can do that. Go ahead. Come on, go ahead. That's the nudge. I heard a true story from another pastor a few weeks ago, from Pastor Chuck Mingo. Chuck Mingo is one of the pastors at Crossroads Church in Cincinnati. One Sunday, Easter Sunday, in fact, a young lady by the name of Michelle was in church, and for the first time, she received Jesus as her personal Savior. A few days later, she comes back to Pastor Mingo and says, Pastor, can I talk to you? He said, well, sure. He said, well, she said, you know, I received Jesus, and in the meantime, something has happened to me, and I would like to share it with you. And I'm going to read to you what she shared with Pastor Mingo. As a child, I experienced abusive, terrible situations where people were supposed to love me and care for me, but they didn't. Instead, they hurt me. I hated them for that, and I hated them, but most of all, I hated myself. There was hate deep into my heart. So much hate that I wanted to die. And I kept asking, why, God? Why? Why me? I'm a good person. Why me, God? Then a profound moment where God shared himself. It changed my life. A few days later, apparently, she got word that her father was in the hospital dying with a terminal disease. He was on his deathbed. She tries to tell that something was nudging her to go see her father. She didn't want to. He was the last person she wanted to see. Go see him anyway. You can do it. Don't worry about it. She went to the hospital. She entered the room and she approached the bed. Here's what she confesses. As I leaned over the bed and looking at my father, I had no intention of forgiving him. As I leaned over the bed, there were no hateful words that came from me. There were no words that, Dad, I forgive you. But here's what I said. Dad, I want you to know God forgives you. Dad, God forgives you. She says, I had no intentions of forgiving him, but as I leaned over on the bed and I said those words, Dad, God has forgiven you, something had come over me, and at that moment, every ounce of hate left my heart. And Pastor Mingo, I am sure that it was the Holy Spirit that put those words into my mouth, through my head and through my mouth, that I had no intentions of saying. The Holy Spirit said it for me. See, that was the nudge. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's not anything big. It could be something small. My wife and I, every week, once a week, we try to go out to dinner, celebrate our marriage together. We've done this for many, many years. We usually try to go to a restaurant that's, upscale, where we can sit down, be served. And this particular evening, we were sitting at a booth. And away from the booth was another table where a couple was sitting. Now, I wasn't trying to eardrop on anything they were saying, though I could hear some of the things they were speaking about. But I remember hearing the waitress. The waitress, from time to time, would always say to them, oh, I'm so sorry. It was my mistake. I am so sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. She brought them the meal, said the same. Oh, I'm so sorry. It was my fault. I assume that she must have made a mistake, or maybe she made the wrong order or something, or spilled something. I don't know what it was, but apparently she did something that she felt she needed, she wanted to be, she was sorry for. And so it sat down all night, and finally when it was time to bring the bill, the check, she lays it down, and again she says, oh, I want you to know how I am so sorry, it was my fault. And that moment, the woman says, oh dearie, you're forgiven. It's okay. You're forgiven. And I watched the waitress, because I heard her say this to the waitress. I watched the waitress. She put her hand on her heart. And she said, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And I could tell with the sound of her voice and the body motion as she walked away, she was free of that mistake. It was done and over with. Because someone said to her, oh dearie, don't worry about it. You're forgiven. You see, that is what happens with this Holy Spirit thing, person. It's the Spirit of Jesus who works in the hearts of people like you and me, who gives us a nudge to bring forgiveness to others. Now, I don't know about that woman in the restaurant who gave the forgiveness. I don't know if she's a Christian. I don't know her life. I don't know her faith. All I know is I can believe that it was the Holy Spirit brought those words to her to say to that waitress. And that's what will happen to you from time to time. Believe me, if it hasn't already. That's the Holy Spirit, the nudge. and you may not even know it, to respond, big or small. Peace the Lord be with you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.